Good evening, brothers and sisters. This evening, I would like to share a devotion on God, our Heavenly Father. So calling God our intimate and personal Father is unique to Christianity. No other religion invites its followers to call their God a personal Father. People of other faiths may even find it strange that we speak this way. And in fact, within the Bible itself, this kind of language is unique to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God's people called him God. There are a few places where people address him as Father, but even then, it is mostly in the context of him being the creator and sustainer of all things, or the founder of a nation and a people. Isaiah's cry in Isaiah 64 verse 8 is one such example. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Here, Father is spoken of within the context of the covenant Father of his people, the people who are the work of his hands. But when Jesus began his ministry on earth, he invited his disciples to call his Father their Father in heaven too. This was something never done or heard of before. Jesus is God's only begotten Son. God the Father himself declared that Jesus is his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. While Jesus was on earth, he always referred to God as his Father, much to the dismay of the religious leaders who sought to kill him, not only because he had broken the Sabbath, but because he called God his Father, making himself equal with God. In fact, the only recorded moment when Jesus did not call God his Father was when he hung on the cross bearing the sins of the world, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that moment, Christ was forsaken by the Father. In his prayers, Jesus addressed God as Father. In the Lord's Prayer recorded in Matthew 6, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. He invited his disciples to call his Father their Father too. The word used, pater in Greek or Abba in Aramaic, was the very word people used at the time to address their own earthly fathers. Jesus, in effect, lifted his disciples into the same closeness of relationship that he himself enjoyed with his Father. John 1 verse 12 makes clear that this invitation begins Jesus, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It is Jesus who gives us the power to become children of God. It is not by our own ability. And verse 13 adds that we are children of God, born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is not our own will that brings about this relationship either. 1 John 3 verse 1 tells us that the motivation behind all of this is love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Out of his marvelous great love, God the Father did not only create us as the crown of his creation, the only creature made in his image and likeness. He also draws us to himself and embraces us as part of his own family, his own children, so that we might enjoy a close relationship with him. Our Lord Jesus, the firstborn, invites us to call his Father, Abba, our Father too. In John 14, Jesus said, In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus went ahead of us to prepare a home for us, because we are now members of God's family. And as every family knows, family stays together in our Father's house. So God the Son gave us the power, and God the Father poured out his love upon us, so that we might be called children of God. And yet, Ephesians 2, verse 3 reminds us that we were once by nature children of wrath, just like everyone else. When we hold up who we once were against who we are now, we cannot help but be deeply thankful for what God the Father and God the Son have done for us. So, how do we become children of God? When Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader, he told him of the need to be born again. It is through this spiritual rebirth that we become children of God. The Apostle Paul, in every one of his 13 epistles, opens with this same greeting: grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds his readers, Jew and Gentile alike, that God is our Father. And in Romans 8, Galatians 4, and Ephesians 1, he introduces another image. We become children of God through adoption. This was a picture his readers, especially the Gentiles, understood well, because adoption was a common practice in the Roman world at that time. Adoption in ancient Rome was both a legal and a social institution. An adopted person received a completely new identity, full standing as an adult heir, and the same rights as any natural-born son. The Emperor Augustus himself came to power this way, having been adopted after being the great-nephew of Julius Caesar. Emperor Nero, too, rose to the throne through adoption. Through this process, someone from the most humble background could suddenly be brought into a powerful Roman family and formally recognized as its rightful heir. There was no greater joy in that world than discovering that one had been adopted into such a family. But for Paul, the Roman emperors were no gods. They were mortal and, like all men, subject to corruption. The far greater joy is knowing that we have been adopted by God the Father himself through faith in Christ. In Christ, we now enjoy every liberty and privilege that belongs to a child of God. In Reformed theology, adoption holds a specific place in the Ordo Salutis, or the Order of Salvation, coming right after regeneration and justification and before sanctification. Now, regeneration, justification, and adoption are each a one-time event in the life of a believer. It has been said that the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection moves sinners from the courtroom into the living room. How so? In justification, God, the righteous judge, forgives guilty sinner and declares him righteous in his sight, not because of anything he has done, but solely on account of the blood and righteousness of Christ. Adoption goes a step further still. It takes the pardoned sinner and welcomes him into full family membership, bringing him, who was once an enemy, into the household of God, granting him all the rights and privileges of being a joint heir with Christ. As J.I. Packer puts it, adoption transforms our relationship with God from one between judge and defendant into one between a loving father and his child. What a wonderful grace God has shown us. Let us now look at the nature of our adoption. It was planned by God before the very foundation of the world. We were predestined to adoption. And if we ever ask why, the answer is simply this: according to the good pleasure of his will. Yet we did not sense or experience this adoption the moment we were born. In fact, there was a season in each of our lives when we lived as servants under the law, in bondage to the elements of this world, in bondage to fear, in bondage to sin. We remained in that state until the time appointed by the Father. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Our adoption comes by Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. There is no other way into God's family. It is all accomplished through his work for us. But how do we know we have truly been adopted? Who assures us of it? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16. And it is by that same Spirit that we are able to cry, Abba, Father. God the Father has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, and having received that Spirit, we are able to cry, Abba, Father. All of this is planned and carried out according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. It is entirely His doing, from the beginning to the end. We did not choose or consent to our own adoption. We simply find ourselves overjoyed that we have been adopted. To summarize, let us pause to reflect on our own journey as believers. We cannot help but marvel at all that God has done for us. We were once children of wrath, slaves to sin. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Galatians 4, verses 4 to 5 tells us plainly that Christ came to this earth to secure our adoption as God's children. In the courtroom of justice, Jesus paid the penalty the righteous judge had decreed. He was punished in our place, and then He carried us home into the family of God to share in His own privilege, to be called sons and daughters of God, and to call His Father our Abba Father. And that is who we are today. We are no more servants, but sons, and if sons, then heirs of God through Christ. Galatians 4, verse 7. I want to share with you the testimony of one young man who grew up in the orphanage run by Sister Ang Liang of Philadelphia BP Church in Batam. He had lived there since he was 5 years old, after his parents separated and could no longer care for him and his two siblings. He was clothed, fed, and educated all the way through high school. As he prepared to leave the orphanage to begin his university studies far from home, end of this year, he looked back on his years there with deep gratitude. He said he was thankful to have been raised with love and care and to have had the chance to grow in his understanding of the Christian faith. He is truly grateful that God placed him in that orphanage, a place he now considers his own home, his own family, one that has in many ways loved and cared for him even more than his biological family did. This is the gratitude of one who has known adoption, care, and love in an earthly Christian family. As we reflect on our own journey, from sinners justified by grace to children welcomed into God's own family, may our hearts overflow with the same gratitude and love for God, our Abba Father. And out of that deep well of thankfulness, may we live to please Him and glorify Him, just as any grateful child would naturally long to do. Let us pray. Father in heaven, indeed how precious are Thy thoughts unto us, O God. How great is the sum of them. So much so that we who are unworthy, sinners, rebels, are called into Your fold, are called and justified by You, and even brought into Your family to be Your children. No words can describe our thankfulness, Lord, towards You. Lord, we come and ask that Your love may fill our hearts and our lives, and that it may overflow unto others, and may we continue to love You and to be assured of our identity in You, that we are children of God, heirs even with our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord. We pray and give thanks. In Jesus' name, Amen.